إن الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا، من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له، وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له، وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله. Verily the praise belongs to Allah. We praise Him, seek His assistance and forgiveness, and we seek refuge in Allah from the evil of ourselves and the evil consequences of our deeds. Whoever Allah guides, there is no one that can lead him astray, and whoever Allah leads astray, there is no one that can guide him. I bear witness that nothing deserves to be worshipped except Allah alone, and that He has no partners or associates. And I bear witness that Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is His slave servant and His messenger. This afternoon, bi-iznillahi ta'ala, we would like to take the last two paragraphs from the muqaddimah or the introduction of Al-Imam Ibn Abi Zayd rahimahullah concerning the aqidah or the creed of Ahl al-Sunnah wal-Jama'ah. In these paragraphs, Al-Imam Ibn Abi Zayd has mentioned a number of points primarily related to the status of the companions of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, as well as the obligation of the Muslims to obey those in authority from amongst them and follow the example of the early generations of the Muslims, to avoid disputing and arguing in matters of the deen, and to avoid every innovated or newly invented matter. In point number 20, Al-Imam Ibn Abi Zayd begins, وَأَنَّ خَيْرَ الْخُرُونِ الَّذِينَ رَأَوْا رَسُولَ اللَّهِ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمَ وَآمَنُوا بِهِ. أَنَّ خَيْرُ الْقُرُونِ, that the best of generations, is also required to believe that the best of generations, or as it came in the hadith, خَيْرُ النَّاسِ, the best of humanity, is that generation, الَّذِينَ رَأَوْا رَسُولَ اللَّهِ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمَ, those who saw the Messenger of Allah, that is, they witnessed, they were in His presence, whether they saw Him physically with their eyes, or they heard Him, or they were in His presence during His lifetime, وَآمَنُوا بِهِ, and they believed in Him. There are those who saw the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam while they were disbelievers, it doesn't count. But the one who saw Him, or spoke to Him, or heard Him, or was in His presence while he was a believer, then that one is considered from amongst the best of humanity, the best of generations from amongst as-Sahaba. Al-Hafiz Ibn Hajar Al-Asqalani, rahimahullah, has mentioned various opinions concerning the definition of what is a Sahabi or a companion of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and the best opinion that he has mentioned, it is that which Al-Imam Ibn Abi Zayd has mentioned here. It is that one who has witnessed the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam while believing in him, and also that he has died as a Muslim. Because perhaps someone has seen the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam while believing in him and then apostated, went out of Islam and died on kufr. Of course that person will not be considered as a sahabi, a companion. Therefore we can say that there are three basic conditions in the proper complete definition of a sahabi, that is, someone who has witnessed the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in his lifetime while believing in him, and who has died on Islam. Even if that person, according to the more correct opinion, even if that person apostated and then returned to Islam and died as a Muslim. وَأَنَّ خَيْرُ الْقُرُونِ, that the best of generations, الَّذِينَ رَأَوْا رَسُولَ اللَّهِ صَلَّى اللَّهِ وَسَلَّمَ, are those who saw the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم and believed in him. وَآمَنُوا بِهِ. ثُمَّ الَّذِينَ يَلُونَهُمْ, then those who followed them. And as it came in the hadith, the mention of those who came after them, ثُمَّ الَّذِينَ يَلُونَهُمْ, yani those who followed them, those who followed Sahaba, meaning التابعون, students of Sahaba, and then those who followed them, أتباع التابعين, the students of Sahaba. Then he said, وَأَفْضَلُوا الصَّحَابَةَ الْخُلَفَاءَ الرَّاشِدُونَ الْمَحْدِيُّونَ, and the best, the most excellent of all companions are the rightly guided خليفه الخلفاء الراشدون الراشدون المهديون the rightly guided خلفاء that is أبو بكر عمر عثمان and علي رضي الله عنهم أجمعين and this is by إجماع of the scholars of the Muslim Ummah that what is meant by the rightly guided خلفاء it is أبو بكر عمر عثمان and علي the best of صحابة are the خلفاء الراشدون المهديون the rightly guided خليفز أبو بكر ثم عمر ثم عثمان ثم علي رضي الله عنهم أجمعين in that order of preference يعني in the order their excellence is in the order as has been mentioned here according to the order of their khilafah the one who was the khalifa first is Abu Bakr and he is the most excellent of sahaba and then the next khalifa was عمر رضي الله عنه and so on then he says وأن لا يذكر أحد من صحابة الرسول صلى الله عليه وسلم إلا بأحسن ذكر and that no one of the companions of the messenger صلى الله عليه وسلم should be mentioned except in the best way the best that may be said about them بأحسن ذكر يعني the best mentioning of them the best words that can be said about them is all that should be said والإمساك أما شجر بينهم and holding back or refraining or abstaining from that which has occurred between them of difference between the companions of the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم الإمساك that one should abstain and refrain from discussing and talking about that which has occurred of differences amongst the companions of the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم Allah is the one who knows best about who from amongst them erred or who was correct in any matter about which they differed. وَأَنَّهُمْ أَحَقُّ النَّاسِ أَنْ يُلْتَمَسَ لَهُمْ أَحْسَنُ الْمَخَارِجُ وَيُظَنَّ بِهِمْ أَحْسَنُ الْمَذَاهِبُ يعني when that the companions of the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم they are the ones who have most right that an excuse should be made for them that we should look for a way out for them that an excuse should be made for them in any matter about which it appears as though perhaps they have said or they have done something that may be questionable. We should look for a way out for them and not blame them, but we should try to find an excuse to justify or to explain their behavior because they are the best of people, the best of humanity after the Prophet. Therefore, if we have heard or seen that they have said or done something, we should look for some excuse to explain their behavior since they are the best of humanity. Therefore, they have the most right that an excuse should be found for them. And that we should have the best thought about them, and that we should think about them only in the best way, having only a good opinion of the companions of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Sheikh Muhammad Al Khumayyiz, rahimahullah, in his explanation of this paragraph, he says concerning the statement of Al Imam Ibn Abi Zayd, "Wa anna khayr al Qurun." الذين رأوا رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم that the best of generations are those who have seen the messenger of Allah صلى الله عليه وسلم وآمنوا به and believed in him ثم الذين يلونهم then those who follow them he said it has been confirmed يعني authentically reported that the messenger of Allah صلى الله عليه وسلم said خير الناس قرني ثم الذين يلونهم ثم الذين يلونهم that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said in the hadith reported by al-Bukhari that the best of humanity it is my generation yani those people who were believing in him during his lifetime then those who followed them meaning those who believed after the time of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam or who believed in his time but didn't meet him yani they are considered from amongst the tabi'un Then those who follow them, the atba' al-tabi'in, yani the students of sahaba. Yani the best of generations are these three, al-sahaba, al-tabi'un, and the atba' al-tabi'in. According to this statement of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So the best of this ummah is the generation which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala himself has chosen for the companionship of his messenger Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He has chosen them to be the companions of his messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given them the honor of being those who have witnessed the revelation as the Quran was being revealed. Also, this is a distinction for the companions of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, that they have witnessed the revelation. They witnessed the Quran being revealed, and they actually saw the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Yani they saw him in his lifetime. And the virtues of the companions of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, other than this, are many. Then those who followed them in preference and in excellence are the tabi'un, those who saw the sahaba, and those who witnessed the companions of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam while they were believers and died on Islam. They are the next best in excellence from amongst the whole of humanity after the prophets and messengers alayhi salatu wasalam. That is the tabi'un. They have seen sahaba and they have accompanied them and they have taken the knowledge from them. Then these are the next best of generations, or the next best of humanity. Then the atba'at tabi'een, those who were the followers of the tabi'un, are the next best generation. And this is what is understood from the hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam. The next statement of Al-Imam Ibn Abi Zayd, he said, speaks concerning the excellence or the preference of some of the companions over others. He said that وَأَفْضَلُ الصَّحَابَةِ الْخُلَفَاءُ الرَّاشِدُونَ الْمَحْدِيُّونَ أَبُو بَكْرٍ ثُمَّ عُمَرُ ثُمَّ عُثْمَانُ ثُمَّ عَلِيٌّ رَضِيَ اللَّهُ عَنْهُمْ أَجْمَعِينَ. That the best of Sahaba, the best of the companions of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, are the rightly guided caliphs. That is Abu Bakr and Umar and Uthman and Ali radiyallahu anhum ajma'in. In this way, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam has advised us to strictly follow the khulafa ar-rashidin al-mahdiyin, the rightly guided caliphs. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam has advised us to follow them. And that is as it has been confirmed in the hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam that is reported by At-Tirmidhi, Ibn Majah and Ahmed rahimahumullah. And this is a part of the hadith in which the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam gave some words of advice as a farewell advice to his companions before his passing. And in that hadith he said, alaykum bi sunnati wa sunnati al-khulafai al-rashidin al-mahdiyin min ba'di. That it is incumbent or obligatory on you to adhere to and stick to my sunnah. Alaykum bi sunnati wa sunnati al-khulafa al-rashidin al-mahdiyin min ba'di. And also to adhere to the sunnah of the rightly guided caliphs after me. This hadith has been explained by various scholars in different ways. And just as a note, in case there is some misunderstanding, the best of the explanations that I have seen concerning this, and Allah knows best, is Al-Imam al-Shawkani, in which he said, rahimahullah, that the meaning of following the sunnah of the Khulafa al-Rashidin al-Mahdiyin means that they were the closest of people who followed the sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam. Therefore, following their sunnah is like following the sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, because they were very eager to follow him in every way, in the major as well as minor things. And they were very careful to avoid conflicting or differing or opposing anything from his sunnah, whether of the major or minor matters. However, that is not the whole of the meaning, but also if there are some matters that took place after the death of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam that didn't take place in his lifetime, then the people should feel confident and secure in following the example or the practice or the guidance of the rightly guided caliphs after the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, because if they didn't find anything in the Sunnah, then they would have made ijtihad. After searching and investigating and consulting with the other companions, and therefore the ruling that they made is the best of rulings. And it is as though it is obligatory, as it is obligatory to follow the actual Sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Therefore, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam advised us, he ordered us to follow his Sunnah, and also to follow the Sunnah of the rightly guided Khalifas after him, Abu Bakr and Umar and Uthman and Ali radiallahu anhum ajma'in. If it is of those things that is directly from his Sunnah, or those things that they have derived from examining the Qur'an and Sunnah in matters about which the Prophet ﷺ has not specifically ruled. These four, they are the best of the Ummah after the Prophet ﷺ. And the order of their excellence or preference, it is in the order of their Khilafah, yani their period of rulership. So the best of them is Abu Bakr as-Siddiq radiallahu anhu, the close companion of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, then and his friend. Then Umar, also the second close companion of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and these were the best of Sahaba, yani in the absolute sense, and these are the two whom the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam advised us concerning the two of them, to the exclusion of others, اقتدوا بالذين من بعدي من أصحابي أبي بكر وعمر. He ordered us to follow those two who are after me from amongst my companions, those two from amongst my companions who will come after me. And he mentioned them specifically by name, Abu Bakr and Umar رضي الله عنهما. May Allah be pleased with both of them. Yani that they have an excellence over the other companions of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And in the authentic hadith reported from Ali radiallahu anhu, it is reported that he said that I heard the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam saying that I have gone forth along with Abu Bakr and Umar, and I have come with Abu Bakr and Umar, and I have done such and such with Abu Bakr and Umar radiallahu anhum. And this is a proof that the closest of all of Sahaba to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, they were these two, the first two of the Khulafa, Abu Bakr and Umar. After these two, the next rank of excellence is for Uthman ibn Affan radiallahu anhu, the husband of the two daughters of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam has informed, تفتحي منه الملائكة, يعني in a hadith it is reported that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam was laying down in his room and his leg was uncovered, either the shank of his leg or his thigh, and Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu came to visit him, and he allowed him to be admitted, and he remained in that condition, relaxed as he was before the visit of his close friend Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu. Then Umar radiallahu anhu came, and he also asked to be admitted, and he was admitted, and the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam remained in that position, in the condition that he was in, with his leg being uncovered. However, when Uthman ibn Affan radiallahu anhu asked to be admitted, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam sat up and fixed his clothing and covered himself, and he said on that occasion these words, ألا أستحي من رجل تستحي منه الملائكة. Should I not be shy from a man whom the angels are shy from, whom the angels themselves are shy from? And this is one of the merits or the excellence of Uthman ibn Affan radiallahu anhu, that he was the most modest of people, and even the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam felt shy in his presence, as he said in this hadith. And this shows the excellence of Uthman, and it also shows that al-haya or modesty, it is one of the beautiful characteristics of the malaika, the angels. Therefore, Muslims should try to exhibit this characteristic. Then after them, in excellence, it is Ali radiallahu anhu, the fourth of the rightly guided Khulafa. And he was also the husband of one of the daughters of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and the son of his uncle, yani his cousin. And he is the one concerning whom the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, أَمَا فَرْضَ أَن تَكُونَ مِنِّي بِمَنْزِلَةِ هَارُونَ مِنْ مُوسَى. Yani, are you not pleased that you be in relation to me, just as was the relationship of Harun to Musa alayhi salam. Yani the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, it was on the occasion when he had gone out for the Tabuk expedition, and he has deputized or appointed Ali radiallahu anhu to stay behind and to attend to the affairs of the people in his absence. Then Ali radiallahu anhu said, "Shall you leave me behind with the women and children, or with the children and women?" And then the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam said, "Are you not pleased? Will you not be pleased that you will be in relation to me as Harun alayhi salam was to Musa alayhi salam, when Musa was called by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to his presence, and Harun alayhi salam was left behind to attend to the affairs of the people in the place of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam."
Come with me, close the window.
So this shows the excellence of Ali radiallahu anhu. And it has been mentioned by Al-Imam Ibn Abi Zayd rahimahullah in a copy of his essay as it was narrated in Ijtima' al-Juyush al-Islamiyah by Al-Imam Ibn Qayyim. In his copy of this essay, he mentioned that the wording of this point is slightly different, and he said that the best of this ummah after its Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is Abu Bakr and then Umar and then Ali, yani, as being preferable to Uthman radiallahu anhu. And it is said that thumma Uthman wa Ali, then after Abu Bakr and Umar, after Abu Bakr is first and Umar is second, then Uthman and Ali, without making a distinction between them, which one of them is preferable over the other. This is the statement as it is reported from Al-Imam Ibn Abi Zayd in the copy of his essay that Al-Imam Ibn Qayyim has narrated in his book Ijtima' al-Juyush al-Islamiyah. In any case, that which the Muslims have agreed upon finally and until today is that the preference of the Khulafa al-Rashidin is as he has mentioned here in this nuskha, that is Abu Bakr and then Umar and then Uthman and then Ali radiallahu anhum ajma'in. Then he says the third point of this paragraph, وَأَلَّا يُذْكَرَ أَحَدٌ مِّن صَحَابَةِ الرَّسُولِ صَلَّى اللَّهِ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمَ إِلَّا بِأَحْسَنِ ذِكْرٍ, that no one of the companions of the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم should be mentioned except with that which is best, the best that we can say about them. Therefore, it is haram to abuse or to use abusive speech or to speak ill against the companions of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, or to mention their faults or their defects. Indeed, it is a sign or an indication of hypocrisy and nifaq. Indeed, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam has said, "La tasubbu ashabi, falau anna ahadakum anfaq mithla uhudin zahaban ما بلغ مد أحدهم ولا نصيفة." This hadith is reported by Al-Bukhari, in which the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, "Don't abuse my companions," yani don't speak abusively concerning my companions. The status of the companions of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is such that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, "Don't abuse my companions, for if one of you had spent that which is equal in gold to the mountain of Uhud, then it wouldn't reach a mud of what one of his companions has given, or even a half of it." A mud is a handful, yani what you can hold of grain or wheat or something. If you cup your two hands together, if you gave that amount in charity of food stuff or whatever you gave, if they gave that, then what you have given in gold equal to the mountain of Uhud wouldn't be equal to what they have given. This shows the excellence of the companions of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam and the status that they hold with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and the reward that they would receive for what they have done. And that is because of their dedication and their sacrifice in adhering to the teachings of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and embracing Islam at the time when Islam was weak, and sacrificing and suffering in the cause of Allah at that time for the establishment of the deen of Allah. Therefore, it is not permissible for anyone, whoever they might be, to mention the faults or the defects or the shortcomings of the companions of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, or to speak ill of them. Indeed, the one who loves them, then he is a believer. The one who loves them, it is a sign of iman. And the one who hates them, then he is a hypocrite, a munafiq. Hatred of the companions of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is a sign of hypocrisy. Then he said concerning them that they were the most knowledgeable of the people and the most obedient of the people, and those who had the most taqwa, and those who made the most effort in jihad and in righteousness and in goodness, and they were the least of the people in pretending or in showing that which is not real, and they were the most pure of souls. May Allah be pleased with all of them. Therefore they should not be mentioned except with words of praise, commending them and supplicating that Allah be pleased with them. Radiallahu anhum ajma'in. The next point of this paragraph, he said, وَالْإِمْسَاكُ أَمَّا شَجَرَ بَيْنَهُمْ, that we should abstain from speaking about what has transpired or what has occurred between the companions of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam of difference. It is obligatory on us that we do not engage ourselves in discussions concerning that which has occurred between the companions, the differences or the fighting that took place. We should not delve into such matters. Instead, it is obligatory on us to refrain from such and to leave that matter of the knowledge of who is right or who is wrong to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And we should know that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will not ask us concerning them which one of them was right or which one of them was mistaken in that which has occurred between them. This is knowledge which is of no benefit, and it is ignorance which does not harm. Yani if a person knows which one of them was right in a difference between them, or if he doesn't know, it doesn't benefit if he knows, and it doesn't hurt if he doesn't know. But what is obligatory on us is to know that they were, as Al-Imam Ibn Abi Zayd said, they were the most right, they had the most right of all people, that we should search for an excuse for them and that we think the best of them. Indeed, the companions of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, they had more right, that we look for excuses for them instead of blaming them, and that we think the best of them instead of thinking ill of them. For indeed, whatever they differed about, they and whatever they fought about, it wasn't yani fighting for something of the dunya, of material things, but it was that some of them have made ijtihad in a matter, and they have made the correct opinion, and therefore they have received two rewards. And the others of them have also made ijtihad, and they have erred in their opinion, and therefore they will receive one reward. Yani what they have differed about is due to their ijtihad. And from amongst them there are those who are correct in their ijtihad, and Allah will reward them with two rewards. And from amongst them are those who have erred in their ijtihad, and Allah would reward them also with one reward for their ijtihad and for their sincerity. And this is similar to the hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, reported in al-Sahihain, al-Bukhari and Muslim, that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, إِذَا حَكَمَ الْحَاكِمُ فَاجْتَهَدَ فَأَصَابَ فَلَهُ أَجْرَانِ. That if the ruler or the judge, if he makes a ruling and he makes ijtihad to come to the right conclusion, and then he reaches the correct opinion, then he will have two rewards. وَإِنْ اجْتَهَدَ فَأَقْطَعَ فَلَهُ أَجْرٌ. But if he makes ijtihad, striving to seek the correct opinion in a matter, and he errs, then he will have one reward. Yani he will have a reward for his ijtihad, while the one who reaches the correct opinion will have a reward for his ijtihad as well as his correct opinion, and the one who has erred, his error, it is forgiven by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and he is rewarded for his sincerity and the effort that he has made to reach the correct opinion. In this case, we understand that all of the companions of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, that their objective it was to do that which is good. Their intentions were indeed based upon their fear of Allah. Therefore, this is the correct opinion that is obligatory on us to hold towards them, that we should look for an excuse for them, and we should only say that which is good about them. As for making accusations against them, then this is not allowed. If the companions of the Prophet ﷺ were not those who have most right to seek an excuse for them, and to think well of them, and to leave the matter, whatever has taken place between them, to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and to pray that Allah be pleased with them, if they are not the one who has most right to that, then who is it? Here the Shaykh, in summarizing this paragraph, mentions 4 points. The first of them, the best of generations is the companion of the Prophet, the companions of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and then those who came after them, the tabi'un, and then those who came after them, atba tabi'un. The second point, that the best of as-sahaba, it is the rightly guided Khalifa, the four of them, in the order of their Khilafah, yani Abu Bakr, and then Umar, and then Uthman, and then Ali radiallahu anhu majma'in. The third point, it is obligatory on us to refrain from discussing the differences that have occurred between the companions of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and to only mention them with that which is good. And the last point is that the companions of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam have more right that we seek an excuse for whatever has occurred between them. The last paragraph of the essay of Al-Imam Ibn Abi Zayd rahimahullah, it is equally important to the previous paragraph concerning the status of the companions of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and it is an issue about which there is great difference of opinion, not only in our time, but even there was in the earlier generations. And the position of the Ahl Sunnah wal Jama'ah, which is based upon the evidences of the Quran and the Sunnah, is that which Al-Imam Ibn Abi Zayd has mentioned here. And he said in the end of his essay, in the other copies of it, he said that what I have mentioned before this, all of it, it is the position of the Ahl Sunnah wal Jama'ah and the Imams of this Ummah, and it is the opinion of Al-Imam Malik rahimahullah, either that which he has stated specifically or that which is known from his madhab. And this last point, or the last point here, especially this last paragraph concerning obedience to those in authority from amongst the Muslims, is of the utmost importance. It is indeed a great fitna that has occurred amongst the Muslim peoples when they have fallen into dispute with the rulers or those in authority from amongst them, whether from amongst the governors or the scholars, and they have differed and opposed them, and this has led to chaos and confusion in the Muslim lands. Al-Imam Ibn Abi Zayd closes this essay with this final paragraph: وَالطَّاعَةُ لِأَئِمَّةِ الْمُسْلِمِينَ مِنْ وُلَاةِ أُمُورِهِمْ وَعُلَمَائِهِمْ. That it is also required of the Muslims to have obedience, ta'ah, obedience to the Imams of the Muslims, whether from amongst those who have authority over their affairs, meaning the governors, or their scholars, yani the Muslim scholars. وَإِتِّبَاعُ السَّلَفِ الصَّالِحِ. And also, it is also required to strictly adhere to the Salaf al-Salih, the righteous predecessors, yani those righteous people who came before us from the first generations of the Muslims, specifically the companions of the Prophet, as-Sahaba radiallahu anhum ajma'in. وَاقْتِفَاعُ آثَارِهِمْ. That we must strictly adhere or follow them and adhere to that which they have left behind, meaning the knowledge and the example and the teachings and the guidance that they have left behind. وَالْإِسْتِغْفَارُ لَهُمْ. And likewise, it is required of us to ask Allah's forgiveness for them. وَالْتَرْقُ الْمِرَاءِ وَالْجِدَالِ فِي الدِّينِ. And to abandon or avoid arguing and disputing in matters of the deen of Islam, that we should avoid it. وَتَرْكُ كُلِّ مَا أَحْدَثَهُ الْمُحْدِثُونَ. And to avoid or to abandon everything that has been invented or innovated by the innovators, yani those who innovate or invent something in the deen of Allah that has no basis in the sharia or the sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And then close the essay, wa sallallahu ala sayyidina Muhammadin nabiyihi wa ala alihi wa azwajihi wa dhurriyatihi wa sallama tasliman kathira. By praying for the salat of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala upon our master and our leader Muhammad, the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and also upon his family and his wives and his offspring, and may Allah grant him safety in this world and safety in the next, as well as his family and his companions and his offspring. Sheikh Abdurrahman, Muhammad Abdurrahman Al-Khumayyis, Hafidhah Allah, may Allah protect and preserve him, mentions concerning these points in the last paragraph, in obedience to those in authority, avoiding disputing in the deen and avoiding innovations. The first of them, he says, that it is obligatory on the Muslims to obey the imams of the Muslims, whether they are from amongst those who are in authority, that is the governors or the rulers, or whoever has been given any authority over the Muslims, whether it is even in the home, the parents and so on, that obeying those in authority from amongst the Muslims. And this is based on the saying of Allah, based on the saying of Allah in Surah An-Nisa, chapter 4, verse 59, يَا أَيُّهَا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا أَطِيعُوا اللَّهَ وَأَطِيعُوا الرَّسُولَ وَأُولِي الْأَمْرِ مِنْكُمْ فَإِنْ تَنَازَعْتُمْ فِي شَيْءٍ فَرُدُّوهُ إِلَى اللَّهِ وَرَسُولِ. This statement where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala addressed the believers, those who have iman, أَطِيعُوا اللَّهَ, obey Allah, it is a command, obey Allah, وَأَطِيعُوا الرَّسُولَ, and obey the messenger صلى الله عليه وسلم, وَأُولِي الْأَمْرِ مِنْكُمْ, and likewise those in authority from amongst you. And if you differ in any matter, refer to Allah and His messenger. The scholars of the people of Sunnah and the scholars of Tafsir have explained that in this ayat there is an instruction to the believers to obey Allah and to obey the messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and likewise there is obedience due to ulil amri minkum, those who are in authority from amongst you. However, the obedience to those in authority from amongst you is subject to their not ordering you to do something in disobedience to Allah and His Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. For this reason Allah has used the word, the command form, أَطِيعُوا اللَّهَ وَأَطِيعُوا الرَّسُولَ, obey Allah and obey the Messenger. As for those in authority from amongst you, He has just joined it to their statement, not ordering us directly with the expression that He has used for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, which makes us to know that there is a difference between obedience to Allah and His Messenger and obedience to those in authority from amongst you. And the obedience to those in authority from amongst you is subject to their command being in agreement or in accordance or not being in conflict with the sharia of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And then the remainder of the verse makes it even more clear that if you differ in any manner, فَرُدُّهِ إِلَى اللَّهِ وَرَسُولِ, that if you differ in any manner, refer to Allah and His Messenger, yani to Allah and His Messenger, not to those in authority from amongst you. Al-Hafiz ibn Kathir, rahimahullah, says in his tafsir concerning this verse, for this reason Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, أَطِيعُوا اللَّهَ, obey Allah, that is, follow His book, وَأَطِيعُوا الرَّسُولَ, obey the Messenger, that is, take from His sunnah, وَأُولِي الْأَمْرِ مِنْكُمْ, and those in authority from amongst you, that is, obey those in authority from amongst you, فِيمَا أَمَرُكُمْ بِهِ مِنْ طَاعَةِ اللَّهِ, yani obey them in what they have ordered you to do of matters of obedience to Allah, لَا فِي مَعَسِيَةِ اللَّهِ, not in disobedience to Allah, yani obedience to those in authority in obedience to Allah, not in disobedience to Allah. Then he said, for indeed there is no obedience to a created being, لَا طَاعَةَ لِمَخْلُوقٍ فِي مَعْسِيَةِ اللَّهِ, there is no obedience to any created being, whoever it may be, in disobedience to Allah. And it has come, this wording has come in the hadith in which the Prophet ﷺ said, لَا طَاعَةَ لِمَخْلُوقٍ فِي مَعْسِيَةِ الْخَالِقِ, that there is no obedience to a created being in disobedience to the Creator. And then Al-Imam Al-Hafiz ibn Kathir said, and this is, as has been mentioned previously in the authentic hadith, إِنَّمَا أَطَاعَةُ فِي الْمَعْرُوفِ, that indeed obedience, it is in al-ma'roof, and that which is good and that which is right, that which is in accordance with the Sharia of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And that hadith, إِنَّمَا تَعَتْ فِي الْمَعْرُوفِ, it has been mentioned also in the tafsir that when this ayah was revealed, that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has appointed one of his companions to be the leader of a group who was sent out from Medina, and that leader became angry for some reason with the people under his authority, and he ordered them to collect some wood, and then he ordered them to set it on fire, and then he ordered them to enter into it. They collected the wood and they set it on fire, but when he ordered them to enter it, they began to think, and they looked at one another, and one from amongst them said that we have fled to the Prophet ﷺ from the fire, how shall we enter the fire? They said, we will not do it until we go back and talk to the Prophet ﷺ. So when they told him, he told them that if you had entered it, you would never have come out of it. إِنَّمَا أَطَاعَتُ فِي الْمَعْرُوفِ, that verily obedience, yani to the one in authority from amongst you, that I have ordered you to obey, it is only in ma'ruf, it is only in that which is good and that which is right. And likewise, concerning the obedience to those in authority, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, in a hadith reported by Ibn Abbas radiallahu anhuma from the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said that whoever من رأى من أميره شيئا يقرأه فليصبر, that whoever sees something in his leader, in his Amir, which he dislikes, which he finds incorrect or unpleasant, or he doesn't think it is good. مَنْ رَعَى مِنْ أَمِيرِهِ شَيْئًا يَقْرَهُهُ, whoever sees something in his leader that he dislikes, فَلْيَصْبِرْ, then he must remain patient. فَلْيَصْبِرْ, it is a command. لام الأمر, فَلْيَصْبِرْ, then you must be patient. When you see in the ruler that which you don't like, فَلْيَصْبِرْ. The Prophet ﷺ said, be patient, فَلْيَصْبِرْ. فَإِنَّهُ لَيْسَ أَحَدٌ يُفَارِكُ الْجَمَاعَ شِبْرًا فَيَمُوتُ إِلَّا مَاتَ مِيتَةً جَاهِلِيَّةً, because no one of you who separates the Muslims, who divides the Muslims by disobeying the ruler, even a shibra, even a handstand, whichever one of you does that, disobeys the ruler and divides the Muslim, if he dies in that condition, he will die the death of Jahiliyyah. He will die as the people in Jahiliyyah. Al-Hafiz ibn Hajar al-Asqalani said, it means as a fasiq, as a disobedient sinner. So the Muslim should be patient with the ruler, even in that which he sees in him that he doesn't like. And likewise, it has been reported from Ubadah ibn Samit radiallahu anhu that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam took the pledge from us. The Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam took the pledge from us, ala sami'i wa ta'ati, to hear, to listen to our ruler and to obey him, and that we should not dispute, or we should not disobey the one who has been given authority over us, إِلَّا أَن تَرَوْا كُفْرًا بَوَاحًا عِنْدَكُمْ فِيهِ مِنَ اللَّهِ بُرْحَانٌ, that we should not hold back the hand of obedience from the one who has been given authority over us, except if we see in that one in authority clear kufr. He said what? إِلَّا أَن تَرَوْا كُفْرًا بَوَاحًا, kufr about which there is no doubt, عندكم فيه من الله برهان, and concerning it you have a clear proof from Allah that this is kufr and that this person is a kafir. Otherwise, in the absence of the kufr of the leader, then the leader should be obeyed as long as he doesn't order us to do that which is in disobedience to Allah. Here the Shaykh said that concerning the obedience to those in authority, it is said that it means the ulama, that is the scholars, and it is said that it means the umara, that is the rulers or the governors, and it includes both of them. In fact, it includes every person who has any amount of authority. Therefore, the Muslim, it is incumbent upon him to listen to and to obey the ruler or whoever has authority over him, as long as what he has ordered him to do is ma'ruf, is that which is good. Because the obedience, as the Prophet ﷺ said, إِنَّمَا أَطَاعَتُ فِي الْمَعْرُوفِ, obedience is only in that which is good. As for if one is ordered to do an act of disobedience to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then there is no listening to what the ruler has said, no obeying. Don't listen or obey. And this has been reported in the hadith from Abdullah ibn Umar radiallahu anhuma in Bukhari and Muslim, that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, السَّمْعُ وَالطَّاعَةُ عَلَى الْمَرْءِ الْمُسْلِمِ فِيمَا أَحَبَّ وَكَرِهَ مَا لَمْ يُؤْمَرْ بمعصية, that hearing and obeying is obligatory on the Muslim person in that which he loves and that which he hates, and in that which he is in agreement with and that which he differs with. It is incumbent to hear and obey. مَا لَمْ يُعْمَرْ بِمَعْسِيَةٍ, as long as he is not ordered to do an act of disobedience to Allah. فَإِذَا أُمِرَ بِمَعْسِيَةٍ فَلَا سَمْعَ وَلَا طَاعَ. But when or if he is ordered to do an act of disobedience to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then he should neither hear nor obey. This is what is obligatory, yani obedience to the one who has authority, as long as what he orders is that which is good and right, in agreement with the deen, in accordance with the sharia. And this will make the affairs of the people to be orderly and organized, and that their condition will be correct and sound and proper. Then he said, after obeying those in authority, وَاتِّبَاعُ السَّلَفِ الصَّالِحِ وَاقْتِفَاعُ آثَارِهِمْ, following or adhering to the way of السَّلَفِ الصَّالِحِ, the righteous predecessors, the early generations of the Muslims, and specifically it means the companions of the Prophet ﷺ and those who came after them. And the Prophet ﷺ has identified three generations, his companions, then those who were the students of companions at Tabi'un, and those who were the students of the Tabi'un, the Asba'at Tabi'un. Following them and adhering to and following that which they have left behind of knowledge and guidance and their ways and manners and so on. So the true Muslim, it is obligatory upon him to adhere to and to follow that which, the way that was left behind by the righteous predecessors, As-Salaf as-Salih, radiallahu anhum, from amongst the Sahaba and the Tabi'een and the followers of been indicated by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, yani that He is pleased with them and everyone who follows them, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is pleased with those, the first generation of the Muslims and those who followed them, in the saying of Allah in Surah At-Tawbah chapter 9 verse 100, وَالسَّابِقُونَ الْأَوَّلُونَ مِنَ الْمُهَاجِرِينَ وَالْأَنصَارِ وَالَّذِينَ اتَّبَعُوهُمْ بِإِحْسَانٍ رَضِيَ اللَّهُ عَنْهُمْ وَرَضُوا عَنْهُ وَعَدَّ لَهُمْ جَنَّاتٍ تَجْرِي تَحْتَهَا الْأَنْهَارُ خَالِدِينَ فِيهَا أَبَدًا. That indeed the سَابِقُونَ الْأَوَّلُونَ, the first people, those who preceded others, and they were the first. يعني from amongst the Muhajireen, those who migrated from Mecca to Medina, and the Ansar, those who received them in Medina, from the people of Medina. Concerning the first generation of the Muslims, the Sahaba, وَالَّذِينَ اتَّبَعُوهُمْ بِإِحْسَانٍ, and those who followed their way in that which is good, who followed their way in that which is good. رَضِيَ اللَّهُ عَنْهُمْ, Allah is pleased with them, وَرَضُوا عَنْ, and they are pleased with Him, and Allah has prepared for them gardens underneath which rivers flow to remain in it forever. So the pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala concerning the companions and whoever follows them, it is an indication or a proof that Allah is pleased with their manhaj, their way, and their tariqah, their manner, and their aqidah, their belief, and their general condition. That Allah is pleased with them, and whoever follows them, it is an indication that they were on the correct way in their belief and in their character and in their practice and in their ibadah. Indeed, they were upon the truth and the right guidance. Then he said, it is obligatory on us to seek forgiveness for them, as Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said in Surah Al-Hashr, chapter 59, verse 10, وَالَّذِينَ جَاءُوا مِن بَعْدِهِمْ يَقُولُونَ رَبَّنَا اغْفِرْ لَنَا وَلِإِخْوَانِنَا الَّذِينَ سَبَقُونَا بِالْإِيمَانِ. That those who came after, that they said, and we should say, رَبَّنَا اغْفِرْ لَنَا وَلِإِخْوَانِنَا, that O Allah, forgive us and our brothers, الَّذِينَ سَبَقُونَا بِالْإِيمَانِ, who have preceded us in Iman, those who came before us from amongst the believers, and that includes primarily, first and foremost, the companions and the tabi'in and those who followed them. The last two points, he said, وَتَرْكُ الْمِرَاءِ وَالْجِدَالِ فِي الدِّينِ, and abandoning, arguing and disputing in the deen, for indeed arguing and disputing in the deen is a blameworthy matter. It has been reported in an authentic hadith, reported by Imam Ahmad in his Musnad, At-Tirmidhi, Ibn Majah, and Al-Hakim, مَا ضَلَّ قَوْمٌ بَعْدَ هُدَى كَانُوا عَلَيْهِ إِلَّا أُوتُ الْجَدَلِ. That no people have gone astray after guidance that they were upon, after having been guided, except they were given to arguing and disputing. Yani as a result of arguing and disputing, the people who were on the correct path, they have gone astray. Then the Prophet ﷺ, after saying this, he mentioned the saying of Allah, مَا ضَرَبُوهُ لَكَ إِلَّا جَبَلًا بَلْ هُمْ قَوْمٌ خَصِمُونَ. That they have not given this example in disputing with the Prophet ﷺ. They have not said what they said to him, except just to dispute and to quarrel. Not that they had any real argument, but they just want to dispute and quarrel. Indeed, they are people who love disputing and quarreling. However, it is permissible for the Muslim to argue with the people of falsehood in that which is best, if they have hope from them that they will respond to the truth and that they will return to the truth. In that case, it is permissible to argue and to dispute with them in ways that are best. And finally, the last point, abandoning or avoiding everything that has been newly invented by the innovators, for indeed it has been mentioned in the authentic hadith reported by Abu Dawud and the Tirmidhi that every innovation, every newly invented matter is bid'ah. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, وَإِيَّاكُمْ وَمُحْدَثَاتُ الْأُمُورِ فَإِنَّ كُلَّ بِدْعَةٍ ضَلَالَةٌ. In some of the narrations he said, وَإِنَّ كُلَّ مُحْدَثَةٍ بِدْعَةٍ وَكُلَّ بِدْعَةٍ ضَلَالَةٍ وَكُلَّ ضَلَالَةٍ فِي النَّارِ. That we should avoid all of the newly invented matters, for indeed every innovated matter is astray. In some of the narrations he said, every newly invented matter is an innovation, and every innovation is going astray, and every going astray is in the hellfire. The Prophet ﷺ has also cursed the one who invents something or who supports the innovator. And that hadith, Allahu A'lam, if it is sahih, however, there is an authentic hadith from the Prophet ﷺ concerning the sacredness of Al-Madinah, in which he said that whoever innovates something in it, or does any injustice or wrongdoing in it, or supports the muhditan, the innovator or the wrongdoer, then فَعَلَيْهِ لَعْنَةُ اللَّهِ وَالْمَلَائِكَ وَالنَّاسِ أَجْمَعِينَ. Then the curse of Allah will be upon him, and the curse of the angels and all of humanity. Indeed, newly invented things in the deen without permission from Allah, it is exchanging or changing the sharia. And it has been mentioned by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the Quran in Surah Ash-Shura, chapter 42, verse 21, أَمْ لَهُمْ شُرَكَاءُ شَرَعُوا لَهُمْ مِنَ الدِّينِ مَا لَمْ يَأْذَنْ بِهِ اللَّهِ. That do they have shuraka, partners, that they have made partners with Allah, who legislate for them in their deen that which Allah has not given permission for. And we find that amongst the Muslims today, that either their sheikhs of their tariqah or their madahib have held an opinion that contradicts the Quran or the Sunnah, and they reject the Quran and Sunnah for the opinion of those whom they follow, who Allah has not given permission concerning them. So it is not permissible to invent anything new in the deen of Allah in any condition whatsoever. What is obligatory on the people is to avoid all innovations and stick to the Sunnah, for indeed refuting the people of innovation and suppressing their doubtful matters and breaking up their groups and having hatred and enmity for them, and supporting the Sunnah and the people of Sunnah, it is of the greatest of the acts of jihad in the way of Allah, and it is the most lofty of acts of obedience to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. For that reason, we see the early generations of this Ummah, the Imams of the people of Sunnah, that they were the most severe against the people of innovation in what they taught and in what they wrote. For indeed, softness and easiness or leniency with the people of innovation, it is a cause for strengthening their power and causing their deviant ways to become apparent in front of the people and to be given attention, not to mention those who support them or who defend them. وصلى الله على سيدنا محمد وعلى آله وأزواجه وذرياته وسلم تسليما كثيرا. This is the end of the essay of Al-Imam Ibn Abi Zayd. In any case, quickly, if we can just look at the questions even in brief, yani, so that you will have them, because you will need them for the examination. Who are the best of humanity after the Prophet, and why? Yani, the best of humanity of the Sahaba, because of the excellence that Allah has given to them in choosing them to be companions. Give the correct definition of Sahaba, yani, the one who has witnessed the Prophet while believing in him and died on Islam. Who are the best of Sahaba in order of their excellence? The four Khalifas, Abu Bakr, Umar, Uthman, and Ali. What distinction has the Prophet ﷺ given to the Khulafa al-Rashidin al-Mahdiyin? Yani, that he has ordered us to follow their Sunnah along with following his Sunnah, showing the excellence of their following his way. Mention the distinction of both Uthman and Ali. The Prophet ﷺ said that Uthman, that even the angels are shy from him. And that Ali radiallahu anhu, he said that his position to the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم is like the position of Musa. In one of the narrations of the hadith which I didn't mention, he said, except that there is no prophet after me. Yani Harun was a prophet عليه السلام, but there is no prophet after Muhammad صلى الله عليه وسلم, the Messenger of Allah. Explain the correct position concerning the differences which took place among Sahaba, but we refrain from discussing these things and trying to point out who is right or wrong, but we leave the matter to Allah alone and only say about them that which is good. Mention the hukm or the legal ruling concerning sab as sahaba, abusing the companions. It is haram to abuse the companions of the Prophet ﷺ, whom Allah was pleased with. Who are the imams who are entitled to ata'ah, and in what condition? Yani the imams who are entitled to ata'ah, it means the governors or the rulers, whether they have come to authority by the pleasure of the people or by force. And it means the Muslim scholars, and in the condition that what they order us is that which is good in accordance with the Quran and Sunnah. Who is it that is meant by Salaf al-Salih, and what is our relationship to them? It means the righteous predecessors, the first generation of the Muslims, the Sahaba and those who followed them. And our relationship to them is that we follow their way and we take from their example. Why are we ordered to abandon al-mira wal-jidal, arguing and disputing in the deen? Because arguing and disputing in the deen causes people to be led astray. What should be our position towards bid'ah, innovation in its people? That we should avoid it, and we should reject it, and we should oppose it, and we should support the sunnah and the people of sunnah. Subhanaka Allahumma wa bihamdika, ashhadu an la ilaha illa anta, astaghfiruka wa atubu ilayk.